This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Inshallah, we'll be reading from verse number 46 of Surah Ar-Rahman, page number 543 of the Sahih International Translation.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولمن خاف مقام ربه جنتان فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان ذواتا أفنان فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان فيهما عينان تجريان فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان فيهما من كل فاكهة زوجان فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان متكئين على فرش بطائنها من استبرق وجنى الجنتين دان فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان فيهن قاصرات الطرف لم يطمثهن إنس قبلهم ولا جان فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان كأنهن الياقوت والمرجان فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان هل جزاء الإحسان إلا الإحسان فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان ومن دونهما جنتان فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان مدهامتان فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان فيهما عينان نضاختان فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان فيهما فاكهة ونخل ورمان فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان فيهن خيرات حسان فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان حور مقصورات في الخيام فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان لم يطمثهن إنس قبلهم ولا جان فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان متكئين على رفرف خضر وعبقري حسان فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان تبارك اسم ربك ذي الجلال والإكرام
بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We send blessings and salutations upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his household, his companions. May Allah bless them all and bless every one of us. Ameen. My mothers and sisters, Surah Ar-Rahman, I'm sure you may have heard last week, the repetition of these beautiful verses, which is it of the favors of your Lord do you deny, O mankind, O jinnkind, the two of you? Which is it of the favors of your Lord, that which Allah has bestowed upon you, which is it of the favors of your Lord do you deny? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala draws our attention to just a few matters, a few issues. And He says these are great gifts. If you take a look at what we actually have, we have so much more than what He has just made mention of. Similarly, when it comes to Banu Israel, the children of Israel, a very interesting point that comes to mind is the fact that they had very little compared to us. You know, when they were hungry, Allah gave them a certain type of meat and a few grains known as man and salwa. I'm sure you've heard that. What was it? It was just grain. Imagine if I had to give you grain every day and a little bit of one type of meat every single day. A lot of our little children, infants, would get fed up of it. They wouldn't want it. But on top of that, Allah says, that was a great gift of Allah for you. And they were happy. They were delighted. Yes, there came a time when Allah blessed them with something afterwards. But Allah speaks about the garlic and the onion and so on. And Allah says, O children of Israel, O children of the Prophet Jacob, Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam, we bestowed upon you so many things. Imagine Allah speaks about some of the vegetables that He gave them. And then He says, these are the great gifts. Remember these gifts that we bestowed upon you when you had nothing. You had zero. And we gave you. Then Allah says, وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا لَا تَجْزِي نَفْسٌ عَن نَفْسٍ شَيْئًا. So therefore, fear the day when none shall avail another. Fear the day. Allah draws an example. He says, I gave you everything, so you'd better be scared of the day you're going to meet me regarding your deeds. Scared in the sense that you're fearful of the fact that your deeds may disgrace you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not let that happen to us. So similarly, in this beautiful surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of so many things. He spoke of the seas, the oceans, the water and so on. And now, verse number 46, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, but for he who has feared the position of his Lord are two gardens. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking about the Jannah that He has prepared for those who have feared His position. His position as the maker, the cherisher, nourisher, sustainer, provider, protector, and so on. So those who fear the one who's going to take account of their deeds, those who are worried, constantly worried about what deeds they've done, they seek forgiveness wherever they have faltered because they know they don't want those sins to be in the book. And they continue doing good deeds because they know that it's only through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we are trying our best to do good deeds, that we will be able to achieve His happiness. So Allah says, for those who fear the position of their Lord, there are two gardens. So which is it of the favors of your Lord would you deny? He says, having spreading branches. The branches in those gardens will be spreading. The branches that are full of goodness. You know, the fruit. So what's the point of having fruit very, very high up? Nobody can get it. It's as good as not having it at all. You need a professional to climb into the tree, or you need some ladder or some escalator, elevator, whatever you'd want to call it, or a little drone going up and picking the fruit. I'm sure they might have invented that by now. So for us, when we see a tree full of beautiful fruit, for example, you know, the lychees that we have in this part of the world, some people call it lychees, we call it lychees. If you've seen some of these trees, they are huge. And sometimes those which are right at the top are looking the brightest in color, the best, mashallah. And we're wondering, wow, look at those. And I keep on looking, mashallah. If you're not ready to make an effort to climb or to send someone or to pay someone to actually climb, then forget about it, subhanallah. They're just going to be taken, eaten by the birds, the worms and what have you. Also creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah says, these trees in heaven are not just going to be trees where you cannot reach out. Allah says they will have branches that are spread completely as per your liking. So which is it of the favors of your Lord would you deny? Subhanallah. You know, it's going to be so close to your hand that as soon as you turn your hand around, the fruit will be in your hand. Subhanallah. Allah says thereafter, in both of them are two springs flowing in both of these gardens. This is just a description of what you will get in Jannah. And the springs flowing, it's not confined to two, but there will be two, definitely. If you'd like more, you just have to think about it and it's there.
If you like to have a different type of a spring, it's there. So which is it of the favors of your Lord would you deny? In both of them are of every fruit two kinds. One might ask, how? I don't know. Let's go. When we enter Jannah, we're going to see every single fruit, there will be two kinds of each fruit. One wonders, what exactly is meant by that? It's Allah who knows. Kulli fakihatin zawjan, two kinds of fruit. So which is it of the favors of your Lord would you deny? You know, in this world we have fruit that is seasonal. And I'm sure you know when the seasons, especially in this part of the world where everything works, mashallah, in terms of plantation, you know that this is the season, this is when we'll get watermelons, this is when we'll get oranges, this is when we'll get strawberries, this is when we'll get so and so, all these different fruits. And at the moment, mashallah, we have some beautiful oranges and we have lovely sugarcane, mashallah. So we know that this is connected to the season. And that which you get off season may not be as sweet, as succulent. But when it comes to Jannah, there's nothing like that. There is no season there. Anytime is season. Anytime, whatever you want, you can have. So Allah says, which is it of the favors of your Lord do you deny? They are reclining on beddings whose linings are of silk brocade. And the fruit of the two gardens is hanging low. This is a different description. Imagine, okay, I'm going to take you for a moment to the seaside, okay? So, someone reclining and just enjoying. And we're not talking of halal and haram in terms of what you're wearing and in terms of who may be there and not. I know your mind might be going there, that I wonder why he's saying this. But we're talking about a private beach, all yourself. You and your loved ones, that's it. And what happened? As you're lying down, you're wishing for some juice, some fruit. And the next thing you know, you just turn around and you see the tree, the fruit is dangling, hanging right in front of your nose. Subhanallah. Imagine. And which fruit? The fruit of your choice, as you think, desire. Mashallah. Whatever you wish is there, right there. Amazing. And you're just reclining. So Allah says, these people will be reclining on beddings. And at the same time, the fruit of the two gardens is hanging low. How does it come? I don't know. From both gardens? I still don't know. It's Allah. He's just described it. He said, hang on, it's coming. This is what you're going to be having. Allah says, so do you still deny the favors of your Lord upon you? He bestowed upon you so much. He's blessed you with so much. The difficulty is man looks at what he does not have. He always complains. His complaints are based on what he does not have. But looking at what you do have, subhanallah. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of the hur of Jannah. And Allah says, in them are the hur, limiting their glances, untouched before them by man or jinn. Now the hur here, describing the special women of Jannah, there is a big discussion regarding the hur. And there is a question as to what will the women get if the men get hur. And you know, this debate continues and it goes on. There are some narrations that do explain the status of a woman and how higher she will be than all of these put together. You won't be intimidated and you won't feel insecure because you will be absolutely stunning. Completely far above all of these put together. At the same time, what will you get? Well, I tell you something. The truth is, you get what you want. That's what Allah says in the Quran. And He makes it quite clear. And I think it's Shaitan who makes us debate and argue. I remember someone saying that, oh, if I get this, I don't want to go to heaven. Astaghfirullah. Okay, so then where do you want to go? To hell. That's the other option. That's the other option. So you have no option but to hope to go to heaven, subhanallah, and to work towards it. What you're going to get in there, trust me, even if Allah didn't tell us anything, it was okay. There are still a million things, a billion things and countless things He has not told us about Jannah, but we still want to go there. He hasn't. He's only, you know, this is just a description, the tip of the iceberg. That's it. He still hasn't even described so many things to us because you need to go there in order to be able to appreciate what there is. But he has said, nobody will feel let down. Not a single person will feel that what they have is below what they would have wished for and wanted. And not a single person will feel that Allah has let them down. Nobody. So then, what are you going to get? Well, the answer is you get whatever you wish for. But there's only one condition. What's the condition? You wish for it in paradise. From now, this brain doesn't have the capacity to wish for something that it doesn't know. Subhanallah. On Friday, we spoke about how the previous nations had less than us in terms of quality, and how we have much more than them in terms of quality, yet they felt they were in heaven. You know, if the Pharaoh, who was so proud of his pyramids, had to come here and see Burj Khalifa, I'm sure he'd faint. If he saw, for example, the lifts, the elevators that get you up there in 59 seconds, almost a kilometer going up, 800 meters, I think he would actually go dizzy, subhanAllah. Definitely. And he would think that all his pyramids and everything was just a waste of time. Completely. It's so ancient, people only go there to say hello to him. That's it. There's nothing else. No one would go and live in those pyramids today. Nobody. All those kings who used to pride themselves with all their chariots and all their horsemen and their carriages, if they had to see your little Toyota, they'd go dizzy, subhanAllah. Completely dizzy. Even if it's just a Runex, trust me, they would also get the Runex. It's amazing how we have so much. So if they were wishing, they would never have been able to dream or think of sedgeways to do tawaf and umrah. Astaghfirullah. They wouldn't. They wouldn't. I'm not talking of its permissibility or prohibition. I'm just saying it's there. I was thinking the way Bluetooth works and Wi-Fi works and the way our phones work and WhatsApp works and the way the remotes work and the way everything works. Imagine if people 200 years ago were told to wish for what they want in paradise. And they said, we wish we can fly in the sky. For us, we're already flying in the sky. We've got their paradise. It's here already. But we're still less appreciative than they are, than they were. I wish I could see my son who's in the other part of the world when I talk to him. Firstly, you wish to talk to him. We could speak to him since whenever. Before we were born, technology was already there to be able to place a call with the operator and receive it half an hour later, an hour later, and then speak to whomsoever you wish across the globe for as long as they also had some similar facility. But today, you don't have to wish anymore. People take it for granted. You don't realize the gift of Allah. This little WhatsApp that you have is actually such a big gift of Allah. And people say, no, but that was made by man, man's brain. Who gave man the brain? It was Allah. Allah allowed it to happen. Allah says, whatever you do, we allow you to develop to the limit that we wish. And this is why WhatsApp was not invented in the 6th century BC. Allah only allowed it to happen now. So with these sophisticated minds and brains of ours, subhanAllah, we, as much as we think we know what we want in Jannah, wallahi, by the time 100, 200 years pass, people will be flying like birds, maybe. You know, you might laugh at it today, but it's anything is possible. Subhanallah. If you think about how we fly over the oceans, so many thousands of feet above sea level, a distance that was not even dreamt of at the time to be covered. People never ever covered that type of distance. You cover it in 2 hours, 5 hours, gone. You're already there. If I need to go, for example, to Australia, 10 hours later, I'm there if I want. Subhanallah. So the point I'm raising is, for you to start saying, I want this in paradise and that in paradise, you might have the worst thing compared to everyone. If those people wished that they had the best carriages, today they wouldn't even allow them on the streets. Do you agree? The carriages are not allowed on our streets unless you have a special permit. So it's foolish for us to say, okay, in heaven, I'd like to have this and that. And you're talking about your own house, a beautiful shower, you know, and I'd like a nice kitchen, and so many cooks, subhanAllah. Too many cooks spoil the broth. Remember that saying. So you want whatever you want, according to your brain and capacity. This is why Allah says, we're not going to explain too much to you. Just believe us that you don't know much. Just believe us. And you'll never understand it. When you get there, you will be baffled, bewildered. You will be amused, amazed. You will be pleasantly surprised to see things you'd never imagined. Allah says, if you imagine something, it's not going to be in heaven, because you could imagine it. Heaven is beyond imagination. If you ever saw something, it's not going to be in heaven. You must be thinking, my husband, huh? May Allah forgive us. He won't be there. No, he won't. Not in exactly the same body as he had here in the world, but in something totally different, so unique that you'll only want him no matter how you didn't get along in this world. Subhanallah. The same applies to you. When he sees you, he will wonder. Subhanallah, that's Jannah. He could have seen anything and everything else, he'll still only opt for you. That's it, gone. Imagine how you feel. Wow. And I know what the question is on your minds. Well, what about those hoors they're being spoken about? Don't worry about them. Allah says, you don't worry. This is what Allah says in the verse of the Quran as well. فِيهَا مَا تَشْتَهِيهِ الْأَنفُسُ وَتَلَذُّ الْأَعْيُنُ. Once you get to Jannah, whatever you wish will be yours. You want to be more beautiful than all the hoors put together, trust me, it's done. Consider it done and over. You want to be whatever you want to be, done. One day one of the scholars was asked that, so if the men get the women, what will the women get? He said, well, simply the men. What else? Subhanallah. It's only who from amongst the men you will get. It's a question. Let's wait. Let's get there and see. You know, you will be in very good company. The companionship will be absolutely brilliant. Do you know that the verses that speak about being in the company of the greatest and the closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the other messengers and those who were very close to Allah, it's not confined just to males. No. The Quran doesn't say it's only for males. You'll be in good company, the best of companionship. You dream of it, you think of it, and it's done. This is why I decided to spend a few moments explaining, to say, my sisters, don't get upset when people say, ah, you know, these guys are going to get that, what are we going to get? Someone asked me once that I'm a female in this world, not by choice. What if I want to be a male in the next? Do you know what I said? Speak to Allah, not to me. Who knows? Allah might give you what you want. I'm not your God. I don't know what He has prepared for you. Then she asks me, is there anything to say that I will be a female in the next world? And I said, look, I prefer to remain silent. I haven't come across anything. And the best thing is, let's get to Jannah first. Once you're there, trust me, you will never ever be let down. And whatever you can think of with that perfect brain of yours, once you are there, will definitely, definitely be yours and yours alone. You will have it. So whatever you want, you can hold Allah. Allah says, "Kana ala rabbika wa'dan mas'ulan." What Allah has promised you is a promise that you can ask Him about. You can hold Him responsible for it. That's what He says. So you can say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah, you promised that we will get whatever we wish, and you said that you are account, meaning you are whole, we can hold you responsible for what you've promised us. This is the meaning of the term wa'dan mas'ulan. A promise that you can question regarding, you can actually ask about. You ask about. So now, ya Allah, I want this, 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 this. Do you think Allah is going to say, no, we were just joking? Astaghfirullah. Do you think Allah is going to say, no, you're not going to get it? Astaghfirullah. Allah is the most truthful. When He told you He will give you what you want, all you got to do is go there. So now, people think that, you know, but this is crossing my mind. I tell you how it's crossing your mind. Shaitan, the devil, doesn't want you in heaven because he was expelled from it. He doesn't want you in heaven, so he makes you lose focus by starting to think about so many other things. If you want to own, I'm going to give you a simple example. If you want to own a Mercedes S-Class, for example, the latest, the new ones, you know, those AMGs, those G65, they call them. If you want to own one of those, you cannot just keep on thinking about it, sit back and say, look, this guy, he promised that if I pay him the money, I will get it. So now let me start thinking. Are you sure he's going to give it to me? I don't think so, man. I don't think so. You know, when I go there with the money, he's not going to give it to me. I doubt it. He's too stuck to it. I don't even think he's got it, number one. Number two is, even if he has, he'll probably give it to someone else. I don't even know. You keep on thinking in the process. Do you know what happens? You didn't go to work, so you didn't earn the money. You just kept on thinking, and you didn't even try. You didn't even work towards it. The little money that you did have, you spent it on food, clothing, and everything else. Your capital got eaten. So by the time you saw the vehicle, even at half price, you still didn't have the money. But you kept on wishing and wishing and hoping and thinking. And at the same time, shaitan made you come and have negative thoughts that you're not going to get it. Rather, you work hard, very, very hard. You earn the money, you get there, you pay for it, you get the vehicle, and now it's yours. Now, something similar happens with us when it comes to Jannah. We keep on thinking, Jannah, yeah, Jannah. What are you doing to work towards it? Shaitan is making you lose focus by making you think, hey, I don't think I'm going to get this in Jannah. I don't think I'm going to get that. Hey, Allah promised us this. I wonder. Oh, he's going to get whores. I don't want to go. I don't want to go. I don't want to go. For what? Why? Why think so negative? So what if he gets the whole dunya and whatever? He's not even going to get the dunya because the dunya is not going to be there. Dunya meaning this whole world is not going to be there. The people will be there in different bodies. Perfect. Whoever you had issues with in this world, that you will have no issues with them there. If they've made it to the same place. If they haven't, or if we haven't, then one of us is at a loss. So the moral of this whole talk is work towards Jannah, read your salah, dress appropriately, worship none but Allah, follow the footsteps of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, be strict on yourself, keep on hoping, make dua to Allah, supplicate, ask Him, keep on asking Him, and understand fully well that you will get whatever you wish for once you enter Jannah. When we die, we're definitely going to a much, much better place than this place here where, astaghfirullah, so many things are happening that are quite negative as part of the test that we have been placed in. So work towards it. Don't let shaitan make you lose focus, even for a moment. When shaitan makes us lose focus, you know what he makes us think? He makes us think all these negative thoughts and we start becoming despondent, depressed. Then when you die, you end up going to another place. Instead of heaven, you're on the other side. May Allah not let that happen to us. So don't lose focus. Don't worry about what people are going to get. Focus on what you will be getting, inshallah. Focus on getting there, in fact. Focus on getting there. When people travel to a country that they really wish to travel to, for example, when they get there, they realize, you know what? We might have planned that we will spend our holiday this way, but now that we've got here, we want to do it in a different way. So, no problem. Alhamdulillah. You may never ever know exactly what it's all about until you go there. So I hope that little explanation would have helped us. Because every time I read the word hoor, I feel sorry for the women of our world. Not because I feel that they won't make it there. Not because I feel that they will. Because they start becoming depressed at the very thought of the hoors being there. A lot of women will ask you a question. Hey, look, what about these? Just explain to me. This is what it is. And you know, the way the non-Muslims word it and some uneducated Muslims word it, they make it seem like women, men will only be working in order to get hoors in heaven. That's not true. That's not what men are working for. They're working to get to Jannah. Whatever you get in Jannah is besides the point. We know we're not going to be let down. That's all. We know whatever we get will make us happy, whatever it is. The same applies to the women. We know whatever you get will make you happy, and whatever you wish for, you shall get. And some of the non-Muslims make it sound really rude, really ugly. And that's perhaps because their minds are dirty as well. That's the only thing they think about. Let that not be the case. So this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, reclining upon the couches lined with silk and the fruit of both of the gardens will be near at hand. Then which is it of the favors of your Lord have you denied? Wherein both Subhanallah. You see, this is a different explanation in the Noble Quran. The same verse regarding the Hur and the description of restraining their glances, wherein both will be qasiratu tarf. Fihinna qasiratu tarfi. So he says, the chaste females, the wives, restraining their glances, desiring none except their husbands, with whom no man or jinn has touched before them. Now, this is referring to two things. One is the fact that women won't desire more than what they've been given. And the same applies to men. They won't desire more than, they will be satisfied with that. But at the same time, like I said, if you do desire and if you do wish for anything, it will be yours. Whether or not you do, that's a different question altogether. Like if I were to ask a little child, for example, ask me what you want and I give it to you. So they ask me whatever they want in terms of chocolates and sweets and mashallah, and they get it. Because children, that's normally what they like, candy and whatever else. And if they didn't ask me for something and they're happy with what they have, alhamdulillah, that's it. But if they happen to then ask me still beyond that, then I need to fulfill my promise. Now this example is far higher when it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's nowhere near the example of mankind. If Allah tells you, you get what you want, you will get what you want. So the second important point that we derive from this is the fact that the glances will be restrained out of choice. Everything that happens is out of choice. You're not conscripted to it. You're not forced to restrain your glances. But you have something such that you won't want to look at anything else. And you just won't desire to look elsewhere. So it is reported that when the person enters Jannah, you know, one of the narrations speaking of one of the last people to enter Jannah, it says when he enters, when he sets foot as he's going in, he stops because of what he sees, the detail of his own garden. And he stands on the same spot for 500 years, just looking. Looking at what? Looking at whatever belongs to him. Whatever he can see from that door, the doorway. It's 500 whole years. He hasn't yet thought about going in because he's still standing there appreciating. There's no issue of hunger. There's no issue of anything else. There's no issue of going to the loo. There's no issue of anything because that's Jannah. So this is something amazing. And this is why we say, my mothers and sisters, wallahi, and I'm saying this for the third time, let's work towards getting to Jannah rather than focusing on little items we might think that we don't have or someone else will have better and so on. So it's important for us to focus on paradise. So Allah says, which is it of the favors of your Lord do you deny? This is repeated so many times in this beautiful surah. Allah says, as if they were rubies and coral. Allah is describing the beauty of the women. Imagine if the hoors are like rubies and coral, what would you be like? Subhanallah. Like a piece of jewelry, like something really unique. Whatever you'd like to be. So which is it of the favors of your Lord would you deny? Is the reward for good anything but good? When you do good, do you think Allah is going to give you anything but good in return? And this verse is unique because it is used also to teach a lesson to every one of us that when someone does good to you, you do good back to them in return. You don't become ugly to someone who's done good to you. Sometimes people do good to us their whole lives. In person, they have never harmed us. But we begin to harm them by backbiting and so on. If you really ask yourselves, those whom you speak bad about, those whom you may have they really hurt you? The answer in a lot of cases is no. They haven't done anything but good. Or we just believe rumor. Or we just heard something. Why do you want to harm someone who has only done good to you? This is why we say, my mothers and sisters, when someone does good to you, do good to them in return. If you cannot do good to them in return, the minimum is do not harm them. Subhanallah. Today I firmly believe that your best friend is the one who does not harm you. That's it. When I say that, I mean when you're grading friendship, You need to consider the fact that this person never ever did anything against me. They are like top notch. In the world, it's hard to get those type of people now. Especially among our own circles, like, you know, each one's personal circle. Because don't expect goodness from people nowadays. It might not happen. But if they haven't harmed you, they're good. You know, people talk bad about you. They can get up and walk out, or at least tell them, look guys, don't talk about this person. Let's go away. I'm going. That's good enough. That's actually stopping from harming. They didn't harm you. They didn't participate in any harm. Nothing at all. But Allah says originally, the recompense of goodness. Can it be anything besides goodness? People do good to you. Go and do good to them. Go back and do good to them. MashaAllah, there are still people like that. But I'm saying they're very rare, very rare. So this is regarding Allah. When He gives Jannah, He will say, you tried, didn't you? Well, here, I've given you. There you are. Is the recompense of the good that you did anything besides what we've given you in terms of goodness? So Allah says, so which is it of the favors of your Lord would you deny? What Allah does, and if you think about it, my mothers and sisters, have you ever heard of the scales of justice for the day of judgment, where your deeds will be put on the scale? We've all heard it, we believe it, it's part of our iman and aqidah. So when your deeds are put on the scales, Allah's mercy dictates that He will just look at which side is heavier, and He will give you your final abode, or He will give you your place of going to based on that. If you have more good deeds than bad, you go to Jannah, He will ignore the bad deeds. There's only one bad deed He won't ignore, and that is shirk. This is why we keep on speaking about shirk. And this is why those who don't like people to talk about shirk have got something wrong with them. It means they may be guilty of participating in it. The reason is, you will never be upset. You will never ever be angry when people warn you about the biggest thing that upsets Allah, that is not forgiven and not unforgivable by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If a person dies in the condition, to associate partners with Allah, to worship sticks and stones and graves and other people, whether they are angels or prophets or anything else, you worship Allah and Allah alone. That's what He says. The minute you've worshipped anything besides Allah, your chances of going to Jannah become diminished, and they could be nil if you die in that condition. Zero. No chance. So I'd rather talk about shirk my whole life to everybody, to say, hey, be careful, watch out, stop worshipping this person, stop worshipping these stones, stop worshipping this shoe, stop worshipping this piece of hair, stop worshipping. You worship Allah, Allah alone. Yes, you do believe that this may be a respectable item, this might be a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this may be Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you and I know He's the highest of all creation, you know He's the best, you know He's right at the top, but that does not make Him a deity, nor does it make Him Allah, nor does it make Him fit for us to render acts of worship to. He alone, He Himself said, do not worship anyone but Allah. Similar to Jesus, may peace be upon Him, those who started worshipping Him, they've lost the plot. Shaitan used the same plan with Jesus, and he uses the same plan with a lot of the Muslims. When it comes to worshipping Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there are people who worship him. Literally, they put their heads down on the ground for him and for others, and they say, we are too dirty to go to Allah, so we need to prostrate to our sheikh, and the sheikh will prostrate to the prophet, and the prophet will prostrate to Allah. That's even worse than the Christians. To be honest with you, with them, there's only one level between them and there. Some of them. So this is a warning. This is why Allah says, hey, you be careful of association, of partnership with Allah. We will do the rest. We will give you paradise. Don't worship anyone but the one who made you. Common logic and sense. Allah wouldn't ever have created us without giving us the brain to arrive at a conclusion that you need to worship Him alone who made you. Finished. No one else. No matter who, what, why, how, nothing. We won't. We worship Allah and Allah alone. So when the scales of justice are put, certain deeds are very, very heavy, bad deeds like shirk, so heavy that they will outweigh all the good you've done throughout your whole life. So people say, look, I've read salah, I've done this, I've given zakah, I've been for hajj 20 times, I go for umrah twice a year, I do this, I do that, and how will my good deeds be less in terms of weight than my bad deeds? Well, the one bad deed known as association of partnership with Allah is heavier than any good deed you could have ever done, and the whole collection of the same deeds. So this is why, be careful. But at the same time, it's the mercy of Allah that He puts the deeds on a scale. So if you're trying, you're a mu'min, you believe in Allah alone, you follow the footsteps of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as best as you can, you seek forgiveness every single time. Each time you seek forgiveness, your good deeds actually become heavier. So seek forgiveness every single day. And so then when the deeds are put on the scale, at least you see that the good deeds are heavier. So then we get Jannah. So Allah says, the reward of good will be good. Which is it of the favors of your Lord do you deny? And Allah describes something even beyond that. He says, and below them both in excellence are two other gardens. Look here, another two gardens. These two gardens are two springs. Now there's another two gardens. And Allah says, so which is it of the favors of your Lord would you deny? Dark green in color. Dark green in color. Mudhammatan. Which is it of the favors of your Lord do you deny? This is where the color green comes from. You know, people put green everywhere. Green, green, green. Subhanallah. So they say green is a color of Jannah. The truth is, in Jannah are all colors. There are so many colors in Jannah. Any color you want will be in Jannah. And Allah describes a few colors being made mention of. So this is the color green. It is indeed soothing to the eye. Even the doctors will tell you that. Those who know, they will tell you, do you know when you look, just looking at the greenery, it will soothe your mind. It soothes your soul. It soothes everything. It actually improves your eyesight as well. Don't laugh at me. It does. That's a gift of Allah. Imagine. Green. So Allah says, dark green in color. So which is it of the favors of your Lord would you deny? In both of them are two springs spouting. These are another two springs. So which is it of the favors of your Lord would you deny? In both of them are fruit and palm trees and pomegranates. These are some of the fruits that we know that are being made mention of, but the quality of them in paradise will be totally different. They will be called pomegranate, but they will be something else. They will be called palm trees, but they will be something else. So which is it of the favors of your Lord do you deny? In them are good and beautiful. Hur. Again, Allah speaks of the hur. I don't need to go back and rewind what I said. But you know what I said, don't you? Alhamdulillah. So don't be insecure every time you hear the word hur. I know, wallahi, I know of women, young girls as well, who get so uneasy when the word hur comes about, and they start just shaking their head, you know. Here I am, struggling with all my cosmetics, trying to make myself look okay, and Allah keeps saying hur, hur, you know. Allah forgive us. So Allah says, so which is it of the favors of your Lord do you deny? Fair ones reserved in pavilions. Here's Allah's description. I don't know how to explain it, and I won't. How Allah wants it and whatever Allah intends with it, He knows best. Here's just a translation, you heard it, and that's good enough, subhanallah. Meaning they're going to look really hot, mashallah. They're going to look really good, and where they're going to be, subhanallah, is in a really, really good place. And what we do know is you're going to look even hotter, and you're going to be in an even better place. So each time you think of hur, say, wow, at least I'm going to be better than that, mashallah. So which is it of the favors of your Lord do you deny, untouched before them by man or jinn? So which is it of the favors of your Lord would you deny, reclining on green cushions and beautiful fine carpets? Reclining on green cushions and beautiful fine carpets, mashallah. Allah's describing. Imagine, for those of us who don't have these green cushions and we don't have carpets and we don't have whatever Allah's describing here in terms of the worldly items. Obviously, heavenly, none of us have it yet. But in terms of worldly materialistic items, yes, if you don't have it, don't worry. You will one day have far better than whatever anyone in this world has had. So Allah says, which is it of the favors of your Lord would you deny? Blessed is the name of your Lord, owner of majesty and honor. Subhanallah. Blessed is the name of your Lord, owner of majesty and honor. My mothers and sisters, we heard beautiful verses of Surah Ar-Rahman. And also an explanation of part of it, not all of it, but at the same time I hope it's brought it closer to our understanding. And at the same time, my mothers and sisters, let's all work towards Jannah so that we earn paradise. There are a few parts of it that I intentionally did not go deeper into, because it's good for us to leave certain things for us to see when we get to Jannah, what exactly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has in store for us. And like I say, and I will end on this note, you will never ever be let down by what Allah gives you. And no matter what you want, whatever you think of, whatever you wish for, whatever comes across your mind, you will definitely get it on condition that you ask for it or think about it in paradise. You don't think about it in advance before you go there. You think about it when you are there. Then you think about it and it's yours. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant that to us. May He grant us Jannah, forgiveness of our shortcomings, and may He accept the little few good deeds that we've done, and may He grant us all the best of abodes, and may He make us happy in this world as well as the next. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabina Muhammad.